In the name of your son Jesus, in this service, we receive fresh revelation of your word and fresh application. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your son, even as he sees us in him. The things that ought to be said will be said. The things that ought to be done will be done. And he is glorified as we are edified alongside the body of Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, we are having Holy Ghost meetings in this month. And there's such a thing as Holy Ghost meetings. And sometimes you can have believers used to one kind of meeting. Just one kind of meeting. I recall that there was a guy who just raised an opinion. He said, I don't know why people can be praying. And this is how he said, and crying and shouting loud. He said, God is not deaf for you to have to shout and cry. Why do you have to do that? You know, he thinks he knows, but he's actually ignorant. Because he feels that every prayer is begging God for something. So he assumes he knows, but he doesn't know. How can, I mean, when you talk to God, you know, so you just talk to God, you know, talk to God. he doesn't know. Sometimes you can just be exposed to one thing, and what you don't know not just surpasses what you know, is incomparable to what you know. So there are different kinds of meetings. You know, naturally, I would have said, open to this text this morning, and you know, you'll have, I'm sure some of you are open to Matthew. It's not just Matthew. It's Jacob. You know, you'll have felt that there are different kinds of meetings. So they are just like when you come for a prayer group meeting during the week, you know, you don't get to sit down. You don't get to take notes as such. It's a different kind of meeting. So there are different kinds of meetings. And you must know the ones, you must know how to function, pardon me, in each one. I'm privileged to be led by a man who understood those things so well and brought us into that life. Kenneth E. Hagin. He's not on this side of heaven now. But I recall reading one of his books, and I was surprised. Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. Where he, now, there are three books I read every year, and I've been doing it for 27 years. Every year I read it at least once or twice a year, really. And there are three, I read them together. Until another one I added later on, but there are three. Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. How you can be led by the Spirit of God, and following God's plan for your life. In fact, I recall in 1996 or so, I taught Following God's Plan for Your Life from the book for about 2 months. Following God's Plan for Your Life. So I read those a lot. And one of the outstanding texts that Brother Hagin refers to a lot of times is Psalm 127 verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. It's a cornerstone text for me, myself. And our ministry. So, Brother Hagin in that book, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits, you know, he spoke about different kinds of meetings and how we must pursue God's plan, alright, and his purpose. You know, if you ask some guy, say, why are you starting the church? Some guy could say, well, I'm starting the church because in that church where I was before, they were just using my talent, you know. Some will say, why are you starting the church? I'm just starting the church because people need to hear the word of God. That looks nice, but that's not why you should start the church. Why are you starting the church? I don't have a job. These are different reasons, you know. But, you know, it ought to be God's plan. And God's purpose. And pursue it the right way. So Brother Hagin brought all that to light in that book. But let me focus on what we have tonight, this morning actually. And that's the purpose of meetings. So there are different kinds of meetings. The very frequent kind of meeting we have is the teaching meeting. What do I call it? Say it again, come on. The teaching meeting, where, and it's a primary meeting in the body of Christ. We come around to hear the word of God, and we study. We call it Bible study, really, but it's, you know, that's what it is. We teach, and, you know, it takes, you know, we look into text and text and text. We have a subject, we're studying it, and all that. And Jesus, see, in Matthew 5, he had that kind of meeting. From verse 2, where he began to speak, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, the pure in heart, for shall see the kingdom of God, is heaven. So he said all that. Now, in Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7, you saw that teaching meeting. He taught so many things, so that in Matthew 7, 28 and 29, the people were astonished at his doctrine. You know, because he taught not like one of the scribes or the Pharisees, but as one who had authority. Matthew 7, 28, 29. So that's a teaching meeting, where he's teaching line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here, a little there. In Luke 24 again, where he taught his disciples, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, verse 27. Okay, we have teaching meetings. And teaching meetings are very important in the body of Christ. They are the typical services that we should have. Priority-wise, yes, teaching meetings. So we have that. We also have prayer meetings. Prayer meetings are a result of teaching meetings, because when we are taught the word of God, one of the fruit of hearing God's word is prayer. So we pray, and prayer meetings are very important. Just like Jesus, alright, in Matthew 17 verse 1, okay, he takes his disciples to a mountain apart to pray. Now, they weren't doing any study. They went to pray. Though the prayer meeting was very interesting because they were sleeping. You dare not laugh, right? I mean, they were sleeping in the cold at night. Some of us sleep in the morning prayer meeting. You say, oh. So in Jesus' name, amen. You don't know what they are saying amen to. Yeah? So you have prayer meetings, which, you know, we come together to pray. In prayer meetings, we don't come together to sing. Some people do that. They just sing and sing and sing. No, we come to pray. So there are such meetings in scripture. Acts 4, 24. You know, they came together and lifted up their voice in one accord to God. Acts 4, 24. That's a prayer meeting. Right? Acts 12, 5 says, the church continued praying. In fact, the book of Acts is filled with prayer, really. I mean, a lot of prayer meetings. So the book of Acts has two meetings that are very prominent. Prayer meetings and teaching services. So a church should have regular teaching meetings and regular prayer meetings. Regular teaching services and regular prayer meetings. In fact, in the book of Acts, pay attention here, you know, when Jesus instructed his disciples, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, Acts 1:8. Luke 24 and 49, where he tells them that turn the city of Jerusalem to be endued power from on high, Luke 24 and 49, they knew what to do. By the time he taught them, okay, just like when you hear the word of God, how you will know you heard the word of God is that after you hear it, you go to pray. If you are not going to pray, is that you didn't hear what was said well. Because as soon as they heard what Jesus taught, he didn't tell them, hey, so guys, you're going to pray for... No. They, Acts 1, 14 and 15, they continued steadfastly in prayer together, in one accord. They had to pray. When God speaks his word, right, the next thing is prayer. In Acts 13, remember, and verse 2, and they were in the church at Antioch, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And then the Holy Ghost said to them, separate me, Barabbas and Saul, for the work I've called them. What did they do afterwards? They prayed. So, when you hear God's word, what do? You pray. You hear God's word to pray. Right? So, they pray. So, prayer meetings should follow teaching services. That is, if we have teaching services, we have prayer services. So, as a church, we have teaching services, primarily like three times a week. But what we do is that we have prayer groups, where we pray every day. And we also have prayer chains. So that's not a prayer meeting, though, where we pray. And also in our services, we ensure that in the services, for example, this morning, we spend time praying. Then in the midweek services, we spend time praying. Because when you hear the word of God, you are praying. So we have prayer meetings. So we can safely also say that the day of Pentecost was a prayer meeting. Because from Acts 1:14 to 15, what they were doing together was to pray. So when they came together in Acts 2 verse 1 to 4 again, they were praying. So second meeting, prayer meeting. So I say prayer meetings. So we have to pick our meetings. The first meeting we've said is one. Then the second one, prayer. Okay. So we have a third one. The third one, we can call it outreach meetings. What do I mean? Now we can call it evangelistic meetings. What we do is that we go into the world. We go to preach. Now look at the sequence. Prayer meeting led to something in Acts 2, verse 16 and 17, where Peter, amongst the 11, lifted his voice to speak to the crowd. So that's an evangelistic, we call it that today, though I have a different explanation to that. But then, they went to preach. So we go out to preach. Usually, this third kind of meeting might not take place in the church building. It goes, we do it in the world, where we go as a group. Alright? Amen? How many of you you've gone out in twos or threes to preach before? Raise your hand. Good, you should. So that's an outreach meeting. We're going to preach. You know, we're reaching out to people here, going to all the world, Mark 16:15, and preach the gospel to every creature. An outreach service. Now the fourth kind of meeting is a healing service. A healing service is where we pray for the sick. We lay hands on the sick. In Luke 6 and Luke 5:17, there's a healing service there. As Jesus was teaching, the power of the Lord was present to heal. So a teaching service can lead to a prayer service. Can lead to what? No, let's start again. A teaching service can lead to a prayer service. Can also lead to what? Outreach. Because we hear the word to go and preach. Okay? And also a teaching service can lead to a healing service. Where we receive healing. That's all we do in the services. We receive healing. Power of God is present to heal. And we receive healing in our bodies. So we have healing services. So one, teaching services. Prayer services. Or you call it prayer meeting. Anyone? Prayer meetings. Teaching meetings, sorry. Prayer meetings. Then we have outreach meetings. Then we have healing meetings. Now, we also have what you can call a minister's meeting. Where those who are there are ministers, leaders, pastors, there are meetings like that, that have an exclusive attendance. For example, you saw that Jesus had the multitude. He would speak to the multitude. Everybody is coming in. He talks to everybody. It goes from synagogues to cities and towns. Matthew's Gospel chapter 4 verse 23 to 24. He goes from place to place. You know, oh, they go from where? Matthew 9 again. Verse about 34, 35, or 36. He goes everywhere he's preaching. So everybody's there. Remember one time he's given a parable. And everybody's looking at him. Then the crowd leaves. There are periods like that he will send the crowd away. So which means that there are meetings that the crowds are not there. Okay, so we have those kind of meetings. So he has times that he spends with, let's assume, the 70 or 120. So amongst the, what do I call it now? Amongst the crowd, he has a 120 that he speaks to. Or 70. Okay? Amongst the 70, he has the 12. So there are times that the 70 are there, including the 12. There are times that only the 12 are present. Only the 12. Maybe a few more people, but just the 12. Just the 12. And there are times that just 3. Peter, James, and John. Just 3. And there were times too, only Peter was present. You know, today we have a very interesting world. A pastor is talking to the workers of the church. And then the worker records it and puts it on Facebook. That's dumb. And very stupid. Because it's the meeting. It's for workers. You have the pastors talking to his workers and he says, you guys must not do this. Then the guy shares it. Then people start saying, what does he mean? Isn't that being stupid? That's being nosy. He's not talking to you. Imagine Jesus is telling his disciples, he says, he that will follow me must prefer me above his family. And then they take the post, put it on Facebook, say, what, that's nonsense, no? This man doesn't like family. What? Is he talking to you? In fact, the people he spoke to said to him, we've left all to follow you. What's your own? Well, you guys, some guys will take it and share it. That's stupid. There are times that Jesus will have meetings and he'll say, tell no one. But today we are so worldly. So worldly. I'm going to mention a few of that. So worldly. You see a Christian share a comedy skit mocking a pastor. What got into you? Are you okay? Mocking a pastor. No, you don't. We're going to deal with all that in these meetings. You don't do that because, you see, the more you allow the world influence your thinking, the lesser you will walk with the Holy Ghost. Because the spirit of the world and the spirit of God are not the same. Paul says, we have not received the spirit of the world, 1 Corinthians 2:12, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Hallelujah. Are you here? So there are meetings. Now, in the book of Acts 2, notice that those meetings in Acts 1, 14 to 15 were only for the 120. I know no one went home and said, hey guys, you know, some guys should have just been, it's just the 120. And Jesus said they shouldn't go and preach. In other words, they shouldn't tell the whole world he has been raised from the dead. You know, today you find Christians who have texted a friend, Omo, come and see something. Jesus don't raise him. But tell nobody, now we. You know, that will have told another friend, say, you know what I heard? Let's talk about it. Off camera. Or you say, no Jesus, he's around. Oh, he's around. In fact, I'll tell you the address later. You know, they didn't do that. They didn't tell anybody. They waited till the day he gave the instructions. Now, I've seen that happen before. But believers, because they had proper understanding. So, those meetings were special meetings. Exclusive. In the book of Acts 2, we had a time that Paul came down to Ephesus, Acts 20:17, and he only called for the elders of the church. So, Acts 20, from verse 17 through to 35 and 36, was referring to leaders, pastors. In Acts 15 too, when they had an issue with doctrine, they didn't put it out on a blog, on Facebook, on Twitter. Let's argue about this. Acts 15 verse 5 through to verse 30. They were with leaders. So they are ministers' meetings. Where things that are discussed there have to do with certain responsibilities that we share. Are you here? So let's go over it again. We have number one. Number two. Number three. Healing services. Then now, leaders' meetings. Now, you know, that can also be workers' meetings, right? Workers' meetings. So things discussed there have to do with workers. Now, there's a sixth kind of meeting that a man like Kenneth Hagin is instrumental to sharing with us, myself and many other people, of course, such information. It's called Holy Ghost meetings. Holy Ghost stroke believers meetings. Holy Ghost meetings. Stroke believers meetings. Now, a Holy Ghost meeting or believers meeting, right, is a meeting where the characteristic of that meeting are demonstrations of the Spirit. Demonstrations of the Spirit. That is the characteristic of those meetings. Now, it's not a healing service. It might have a healing service in it, but it's not a healing service. Demonstrations of the Spirit. So, how did Brother Hagin explain it? He said, a Holy Ghost meeting, or a believer's meeting, is, of course, believers are gathered together, that's important. And then the Word of God is given first place. Now, this definition, you must have it in your head, the way you remember your name. The Word of God, now believers are gathered together. Are we believers here this morning? Come on, talk to me, are we? Believers are gathered together. Then the Word of God is given first place. Which means that we preach it, just like we're doing this morning. The Word of God is given first place. Pay attention. Then the Spirit of God is given a free room or free course or allowed to demonstrate himself. Now, which means that it might not follow the regular course of meetings. We'll see that in a moment. The Holy Ghost is given a free room to demonstrate himself in three ways. One, in utterances. Utterances, which means things are going to be said. He's giving room in utterances. Then secondly, in revelations, things are going to be seen. Seen. Then also in power, things are going to be done. So I start again. Things are going to be said by the Spirit. Things are going to be seen by the Spirit. And things are going to be done. Power. You know, visible things done by the Spirit. So, what's a Holy Ghost meeting? The Word of God is given first place. Okay? By preaching it. Secondly, the Holy Ghost is given free room. Hallelujah. Thirdly, the needs of the people are met. The needs of the people are met. When we come together like that, the needs of the people are met. Alright? Then number four, we are all edified. Edified, built up, strengthened. Edified, built up, strengthened. And then we all leave through the door of rejoicing. Hallelujah. We leave through the door of rejoicing. Let's take it again. The Word of God is preached. First place. Yeah. Secondly, the Holy Ghost is giving room in utterances, what is said. In revelation, we see by the Spirit. And then in power. Then we said, the needs of the people are met. The needs. Some are healing needs. Some are material needs. Some are just, many things are going to meet. And then, we are edified. And we leave through the door of rejoicing. Which means that the people are full of what?
Joy.
Take it in. Full of what?
Joy.
Amen. Said amen.
Amen.
So, that's the Holy Ghost meeting. And that's what we'll be having throughout the month of October. Praise the Lord. The Word of God is preached. The Holy Ghost is giving free room. The needs of the people are met. Alright? We're edified. And we leave through the door of rejoicing. So, you have to get used to meetings like that. And, like I said earlier about the guy who said, is that prayer? You know, he just didn't know. And there are things, for example, that are in God's Word that are done by other believers that you might think is not appropriate just because you are ignorant. There are things like that. And sometimes it depends on the kind of way you learn some of those things. Look at 1 Corinthians 2. Are you here? Are you here? Alright, look at this. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, this is Paul. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Hallelujah. Now, I want to walk on that word ignorant. Now, in the Greek, that word ignorant, that means a refusal to know. You know, there are things that you just refuse to know. You just didn't want to know. a refusal to know. You just did not want to know. You feel, maybe this is not of God. And there are things like that. Some of us have said it's not of God because we did not know. It's not like that. Because we didn't know. A refusal to know. And so Paul says, I would not have you ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Now, as your pastor too, I should say the same thing. I would not have you ignorant. You got to know those things. So you don't sound like a spiritual illiterate when you see them. So notice the word spirituals. The word spirituals there means in and by the Spirit. In and by the Spirit. Things that are done by the Spirit. So concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. There are a couple of things that can happen to us. Now, I got born again on a Sunday. Shows you my salvation is legitimate. And I got saved just about this kind of time. And I recall, you know, it was a swift change. Because in growing up, my dad, because I grew up in the church. My grandfathers, the two grandfathers were, one was a prophet, the other one was an archbishop. So I grew up knowing prayer as punishment. And Bible study, you say, come on, prayer! You know? And my dad would insist that we prayed in Yoruba. And he didn't teach us Yoruba, but he took, so asked us to pray. So we're praying, and then I would say, Olorun, our thank you. I remember one I said, our thank you for what you did yesterday. I'm hoping you do more. My dad said, keep quiet! He knows how to pray! prayer was punishment. So, you have to pray. So, and then we went to church, and I had, you know, I even had a problem with the church. Because one day, someone is prophesying, he said to me that I shouldn't go to school for 1 week. That there was an enemy somewhere, I don't know where the enemy was. So I didn't go back home with the family. And I had to stay in the church, didn't go to school. And throughout the week I was hating the church. In the church. And just I felt, which enemy? Because the door of the church was always open. And the gate was open. I'm thinking, this is so easy for an enemy to come in here. So I made up my mind, because you know, I grew up in the military era. So I said, I'm going to join the army. That's my life ambition. And I'm going to plan a coup. And I'm going to, as soon as I get into power, I'm going to say, fellow Nigerians, and I'm going to say, I thereby ban all the churches, especially those who keep people from going to school. So my dad told me something like, don't mind all those born again people, though. They are all lying. He told me that because, and he was my mother, was my hero. So he told me, said, don't believe those things. I said, yeah. He said, there are two things you need, and you'll get to the kingdom of God. I didn't know what the kingdom of God was, what he told me. He said, number one, love your neighbor as yourself. Said one. Two, don't lie. He said, with those two things, God will take you. So I believed him. So every time I saw people say, born again, I didn't know what born again was. But you know, I knew that was the Holy Ghost because I just heard a sermon. And someone's preaching. I remember who was preaching. And as he's preaching, I saw my father was wrong. That Jesus died for my sins. And he wanted me to receive the new birth. It didn't take 30 minutes. I knew, oh. I call that as I was, and I'm a young boy. I'm not trying to make money or anything. I'm not trying to say, oh God, solve my problems. No! I knew that was the Holy Ghost. I just saw it. It's not that I knew any scripture. It's not that I could recall any scripture. It's not like there was a very deep teaching done. And as I was hearing it, I remember Brother Ehide, he's singing a song. I will cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. At any time, I don't know what to do. And I said, Jesus, my dad was wrong. I make you the Lord of my life. That was the Holy Ghost. Because I was thinking differently. And the Holy Ghost, without giving me exegetical explanations, He brought light to my path. Hallelujah. That's the work of the Spirit. And you can't argue that with me. I knew I heard from God. I knew a new birth had come. You know, it was so easy for me. As soon as we got born again, so he just say, hey, yeah, you this new converse, come to this time. And they said, now you are going to receive baptism of the Holy Ghost. I didn't even know what that was. I never read it before. I know what I'm baptizing. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are going to speak in tongues. You say, hey, in that language, the devil does not understand it. Okay, that's fine. By me, at least I didn't say something that nobody understands. So I'm going, oh, it's good that they didn't allow me think. Because if they had given me one day, the devil doesn't understand why. Why do I have to say? You know what I said? Why? I don't live with the devil. Why should what was I be saying? That? Is he eavesdropping in my conversation? I mean, well, and then I would have said, not just the devil doesn't understand. I also don't understand. So maybe I'm the devil because I don't understand what I'm saying. So and Brother Tunde Akonde just came and said, so receive the Bible of the Holy Ghost, said, raise your hands. I raised my hands. Said, whatever comes, just say it. And I began to speak. I remember the first syllables I said, I will not tell you. I know you are waiting to hear it. Not now. I'll tell you in 50 years' time. So I said, wasn't something? Huh? And that can be very logical. I'm a very logical person. I used to be anyway. And I felt. I said, and I said to myself, what do you do? Just a few minutes ago, you were a sinner. Didn't you, are you not just grateful that at least they're not going to hell? Better say whatever you're supposed to say. So I'm speaking in tongues. And he said, we speak in tongues. So that's my prayer language. And I'm going, but my point is, I didn't need too much explanation. And the work of the Spirit is such that, you know, we might get the understanding later. Just like you got born again. How many of you understood the exegetical doctrine of salvation before you got? You did not. But you know, the love of God was shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Romans 5:5. So, the work of the Spirit usually will bypass logic. It will go beyond it. And I began to speak in tongues. You know, the thing was, and the bad part was, they didn't explain to me. They just said, speak in tongues, Satan is confused, it's your prayer language. And of course, we didn't speak in tongues, you know, because I got born again in a very conservative background. You can't start praying in tongues. You first pray in English. When the English has now stopped being English, you have to say, so we've been speaking tongues. So you couldn't just say speaking tongues. No. You get to a point. Ah! You have now entered claro level. You say, ah! He's speaking tongues. And that was it. So, you know, then I went for a camp. A camp, and I'll mention it because I know they don't have qualms with it, the Deeper Light camp. So I'm at the Deeper Light camp and they're talking about baptism of the Holy Ghost. So when the guy wrote out the characteristic of those that should have it, I don't fit in here. One of the things he said was, you can't be a Chelsea Cowboy fan. your pastor doesn't lie, so I'm just telling you what should have been in his mind. You know, so he said that. You know, the club required a retiree for my club to score a goal for them. You know, that's so nice. Such a cowboy club. Anyway, we'll get back to the spirit. So we go. So, you know, I'm saying, hey. So I started to say to myself, with this characteristic, no. And I said, does that mean I spoke fake tongues? Because it came to my head. Because the man had explained it. And then he said, those who are qualified should come out. Anyway, quite a number of people. I think about just 8 people came out. Then you know there's trouble. 8 people. They are Pentecost, everyone, but they're 8. In Samaria, everybody, but they're 8. You know, like the Ark of Noah. So I'm going, and the flood is not the Holy Ghost, so that's fine. You know, oh, you didn't get that part, pray about it. So he goes, and I'm saying, no. You know, that song about the Holy Ghost, I knew it was real. I said, no. And you know, the thing is, I just, as he was speaking, and people were going out, and people were saying, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. I started speaking in tongues. But quietly. Because if I raise my voice, they say, come in. You know, there was a sister in church, Kate. Kate said to me, she's a pastor now. She said, I got her born again. And I knew how she got saved. You know, maybe I should talk about that, you know. I used to go, you know, share with her and preach to her. So she said to me, are you done? I'm saying, I'm so no. She said, don't come tomorrow. You're disturbing me. And I'm praying overnight and say, God, touch her heart. And there was another guy like that. The guy was one of the boys in the area, the hard boys. King of boys. So now I was just laughed. So the day, so I was in front of a shop, the guy was right in front. And the guy was saying, all these people, you are just preaching this one. And he said, is this one a man of God? And mentioned Pastor Chris Okotie. Said he has heard Jericho. And I just said to him, and that's how he got born again. I said, was under an almond tree. Some of our trees. Tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. So I said to him, Pastor W.F. Kumuyi does not wear Jericho. Does he? He said, no. Has he preached that you should be born again? He said, yes. I said, so Pastor Chris Okotie is for those who don't mind Jericho. Pastor Kumi, for those who don't say, are you ready to get born again? That was how he got saved. You know, that's the Holy Ghost, right? So he will give you utterances. You just get the right things to say. So, hey, so this sister, she said, no, she's against all I'm saying. So we began to have some meetings called the Dunamis meetings. So she came. In that morning, I've gone around the whole place, praying in the environment, laid hands on all the seats. I said, Lord, anyone who comes in here today will have an encounter with you by the Holy Ghost. She comes, stays at the door, and raises her voice. She said, I saw balls of fire in the whole room. And she knelt down right there and got born again. She didn't exactly hear anything, which means, just like the song we sang just before I came up, the rain had fallen. Hallelujah. So there are times that there are seeds that have been sown, but sometimes it needs rain. In the move of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, so I'm saying, Sister Kate. So she went, she's always going for deliverance. So she's going for deliverance. So she got born again then. One day, this folks said, she needs to be delivered. He said, the Holy Ghost is saying to us that you have this spirit. So she began to laugh. And he said, the spirit is manifesting now. Yes, manifesting. Ah, I said, yes, manifesting. What is your name? You know, some folks are just ignorant. There was a time that we had these meetings also at the town hall, Igbobo Community Town Hall. That must have been 1995-96. And we had Holy Ghost meetings. And this church, I won't mention that one because that one, they won't like it. The other, deeper life will not have a problem with what I said. But this one, I cannot mention the name of the church. So we should share the building. So we had Holy Ghost meeting. So the pastor came around and he saw people rejoicing, you know, the wild things we do in the spirit. And you know, people laying hands, falling under the power of God. The next day, they brought bottles of oil to anoint the whole building. Say, every spirit that was manifested here to yesterday. Oh Lord. And they put it out, you know. And the thing about it, three of us used that hall. We, ourselves, sorry, that church, and a particular club that they do disco every Friday. They never poured oil for those ones. But they poured oil for our own. Because they were playing ignorant. So there are times that you are ignorant of the things of the Spirit. Don't forget how I started. The Holy Ghost can go ahead of your knowledge and get things worked and done even before you have the understanding. Just like you spoke with tongues. You interpreted stuff. You did things before you were explained to or before you got the full information. Are you here? So, the Holy Ghost and the things of the Spirit many times can be very illogical. Very illogical. It doesn't mean it's not in the Word. Very illogical. So Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. So there are things a believer can be ignorant of. The things of the Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit. The demonstrations of the Spirit. You can be ignorant. You can be. And you know, it's good for a believer to be open. Years ago, you know, again, don't forget I told you, I came from a conservative background of Christianity. So I'm at this service, myself and a friend. And we walked into the service, and I remember the man was talking about prayer, and so people were praying. I'd never seen that kind of prayer before. So people were on the floor, rolling and praying. Now, the way I thought was, if I was rolling on the floor, it's a demonic attack. So I saw people rolling, but they were not. I knew. And that's something about you and I. Even when our head doesn't agree, we know. Are you here? You know. So I knew. And these guys were, that was where I got the song, As We Pray. As We Pray, that's about 29 years ago, I think, yeah. And I saw people praying. And they are crying. And they're raising their voice. And then I said, I may not understand this. But this is God. You know why I knew? It compelled me to pray. Now, I didn't pray the way they prayed. Now, before then, I had been praying too. I mean, I grew up with a youth foundation. We used to go for retreats. We pray all day. We pray. So that wasn't the point. It was the mode of prayer. So as soon as I left the meeting, it was a Sunday, I went to pray. Now I didn't pray the way they prayed, but I knew that there was an encounter from God's Spirit. Some people were praying like this. So the Tuesday, I went back to the same service. And the man of God is preaching. Then yet again, something I wasn't used to happen. You know, it's good to have double surprise. And then I had the move of the Holy Ghost. And I was looking. People were falling under the power of God. Now, I'd seen people fall under the power of God. I'd laid hands on people before. But this was a very strange one. And you know, and the man removed his jacket. And then, I'm looking at him. Now, I'm not one. No, I know I'm not a doubter. I don't have... What is this? I first believe. I'm a believer. Who's a believer here too? I am a believer. So I'm going. So I was looking. Hear what I'm about to say now. I'm looking. And I heard God speak to me. It's one of the earliest times I heard God's voice loud and clear. Like someone was right over my ears. He said, close your eyes. You know, close your eyes. And it's not the usher talking. If it's the usher, you say, why? Oh, you know what I'm saying, right? So I said, oh. You know what? By the time I opened my eyes, I saw cobwebs. I was under a chair. And boom. Oh my God. And I had gracious encounters by the Holy Ghost. Now, my friend, same friend, we were going home. Together, going back. And we didn't talk to each other. You know, I was showing some folks that road last month, and we're going. So when we go home, we said, what just happened to us? I said, Holy Ghost too. You know, we felt, wow. And both of us couldn't explain. Now, today I can explain it, but then I couldn't. But whether I could explain or not, I walked in it. Hallelujah. Follow what I'm saying? I walked in it. So, there's such a thing as a believer, right? Being open to the moving of the Spirit. See, you can't be ignorant of this. You can't be. And I said this somewhere, I'm going to say it again. I believe, like E.W. Kenyon said about the name of Jesus, I believe the church universal is still at its infancy when it comes to the moving of the Spirit. Because we do so many things that distract us. So many things can distract you. So many things. And so, when I saw that, I knew, wow, this is the move of God's Spirit. And I may not be able to explain this, but I know these of God. I know these of God. And it's good for a believer to be open to the things. See, I'm open to the move of the Spirit. You know, sometimes you can be used to just one thing. There's some believers, if you say, what about the Holy Ghost? You're speaking in tongues. No, that's not all. You're speaking in tongues. Yeah, that one is enough for me. Why? I don't know. Just enough. No. That's all they know. Some all they know is singing in the Spirit. Oh, thank God for singing in the Spirit. But there is more. I said there is more. I said there is more. And I believe God, this month of October, you are going to see more. Hallelujah. There is more. More. And more. And more. And more. You know, so when I saw those guys praying, I was the one that was ignorant. But I didn't criticize it. I didn't criticize it. I didn't. When I saw my friend, Tunji, rejoice the first time I saw it, because I'm used to the normal praise worship. What shall we say unto the Lord? So we just do all that, and then, you know, you, of course, I didn't have the luxury of dancing that people dance today. So we had the concerted dance. So when I saw him, and he began to rejoice, I hadn't done it before. I hadn't seen it before. But I looked at him and I said, this is of God. Hallelujah. This is of God. And I didn't argue. I didn't say, this is of God. And he, you know, he rejoiced. He laughed. And I thought you only laugh when something's funny. But he's laughing, nothing's funny. I guess the look on my face was funny, but. Uncontrollably. He's going, 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. Oh, wow. I didn't say, this guy's finally possessed. You know, I'm like, oh, wow. I said to myself, I've got to know this one. Then I got to know this one. Praise the Lord. There are deeper realms, amen? There are deeper realms. I said, there are deeper realms. In the things of God. There are deeper things. And there are deeper experiences. Your life cannot be devoid of experiences. Experiences. Encounters and experiences that believers should have. Some things are not special things. Of course, they are special because they come from God. But I'm saying they are not for special occasions. The things of the Spirit. Like a Christian, you've been a believer for 10 years. 10 years! And you can't share experiences in the things of the Spirit. Nothing. I just thank God for my life. I'm not going to hellfire. That's not good enough. Now, if you look at chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, pay attention. Paul used the same word, I wouldn't want you to be ignorant. Then he was talking about the Exodus story. I'm going to build on that next week. And he's talking about the Exodus story. He said, all our fathers. He says they were baptized into Moses in the cloud in the sea. He said they ate of the same spiritual meat. He said they drank of the same spiritual drink. They drank of the rock that followed them, which the rock was Christ. He said, you cannot be ignorant. You cannot be ignorant. And you see, when you look at the story he referred to, that's Paul, there were deep spiritual experiences there for believers. Hallelujah. Are you here? Deep experiences. You know, Jesus sent these guys out to preach the gospel, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15 through to 19. Matthew 28:18-20. But you know, he told them in verse 49, Luke 24, he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now, when you hear upon is an experience. An encounter. I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power. Which means he taught them the word, but he also wanted them to have spiritual experiences. Because the outpouring of the Spirit and the Spirit upon are for spiritual experiences. A church without such is not a functional strong church. We build on the word and we give room for the demonstrations of the Spirit. That's a church. Demonstrations of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Demonstrations of the Spirit. So these are new converts. Pay attention here. They're new converts. All of them new. All new guys. The day of Pentecost came. New folks. What kind of experiences do they have? In verse 1. Say, now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, in one accord. Look at verse 2. Suddenly, there came a sound. That's not the keyboard sound. That's not the microphone sound. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were seated. Hallelujah. Are you here? It filled all the house. Glory to God. A sound. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Is that an experience? A sound from heaven. So rushing mighty wind filled all the house where they were seated. And there came, appeared unto them, verse 3, cloven tongues, like as of fire. What did he do? He sat upon each of them. This is how. Now, he didn't say upon the pastors. Nope. He didn't say upon the leaders. Nope. The whole church. So which means it is possible for everyone in this room to have spiritual experiences. Hallelujah. It is possible for everyone right here this morning to have spiritual experiences. Encounters with the Holy Ghost. So these guys, they saw something. Acts 2, verse 3. Acts 2 verse 2, they heard something. Acts 2 verse 4, they said something. Glory to God. I said glory to God. I'm preparing your heart for this. Amen. I'm preparing your heart for this, right? Amen. And it deals with how you see things. How you receive things. I'm going to talk about my friend again. You know, one day, we were at home, he called all his friends, and we were all his friends. We were about age mates. But the way I was trained, and I actually shared it some time ago in church here, I was trained to see someone the way he is in Christ. So he's my friend. And so he gathered us into a room, a small hall. And we began to pray in his ministry while teenagers. And as his ministry, he's my friend. We banter together. But when I saw him, or every time I see him in such meetings, I see him as a man of God. So he goes, he lays hands on me. For the first time in my life, I'd had experiences before, but this was very unique. I was flat on the floor, and it was about 10 o'clock. I didn't get out, and I wasn't sleeping. Some guys are asleep. And till 4 a.m., I had a trance. Now, I didn't know it was that long, because I thought it was very short. And he said, it's been 6 hours. And the things I saw, I've shared a bit of them. But that's a friend. A friend. A friend. A friend. In that day, there was no power, because there was no light in the hall. We used the rays of the moon and the stars. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Because I was in that place is why I'm here today. So there's such a thing as such experiences when you and I are ready. When we are ready, when we truly, truly receive when believers come together. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Paul said, I will not have you. See, I refuse to be ignorant of the things of the Spirit. Now, talk about this church, Corinthian church. Interestingly, it's not that they were hearing about the gifts of the Spirit for the first time. Nope. In chapter 1, verse 7, Paul says that that church, they came behind in no gifts. So imagine Paul talking to a church that had all the gifts of the Spirit in demonstration. Paul is saying, I would not have you ignorant. Now imagine those that are still arguing whether tongue is for today. What would you have told them? I would not have you stupid. Hallelujah. See, I'm not ignorant of the things of the Spirit. I refuse to be ignorant of the things of the Spirit. You get it? So I'm going to say this. I have many things to say in my heart. You know, one day, that was last year, I was sharing something, an academic presentation. So when we're done, and they asked me questions, they had peer review, so someone now came behind and asked me, he said, Chris, you've explained this thing so well, I can't fault it. He said, but why is it that the church, because I let them see, that separation between the Old and New Testament, that we have done successfully, has made it difficult for many believers to walk in the things of the Spirit. And then the guy said, so he said, Chris, how is it then? Because when I was done, he said, how is it that the church, or the church that he knows anyway, we don't find these things in demonstration? And I said this very simple answer I gave him. Has it been taught? He said, no. If it hasn't been taught, how do you want to say it? Not just it hasn't been taught, it has been taught against. So, how do you want to see something that you practically have taught against? And rather than embrace the moving of the Spirit, we are not looking for things to fill up themselves like comedy. Like, people just talk show. You know, just having people say, let's be doing talk show. People will sit on, I'm not trying to criticize any church, but sometimes it's just interesting. A talk show, and then we do different things. It's like, so what do we do next? So we have done this one this year. If we do this one next year, people will be bored though. What do we do? Okay, fashion parade in God. Can do that one now. Say, that one, for 1 month, we'll go after 1 month, people will get tired again. And we'll go to the beach the next month. Okay, where are we going? Oh, okay. We're looking for something to fill in the gap. We don't have to. Let's stay with the Word. Hallelujah. You see, if we focus on the things of the Spirit, we will be getting greater depths. I'm open for greater depths of the move of the Spirit. You know, for many of us in these services, and I'm going to say this ahead of time, we're going to break off the limits into things of the Spirit. You are going to do things you've never done before. You are going to see things you've never seen before. You are going to have experiences you've never had before. You must be ready for it. You must be. You got to be ready for it. So I told the guy, I said, has it been taught? No. You know, someone sits back in there, he's trying to explain, you know, that why people fall under the power. He says, it's not of God. Say, why? Say, this is man charismatic. And he said, there's always said, but what about the Old Testament? So, I mean, he started to explain it, that you see the Old Testament, the reason why this priest fell was because then, it's the Old Testament. It's a type and shadow. And people fell. And it's not that they really fell. They just could not stand to minister. You know, when you start arguing like that, you are possessed. And he said, you know, so what about the soldiers that came to you? They fell behind. And those ones are unbelievers now. They just fell behind. So okay, what about Saul of Tarsus? He was not yet a Christian. And what now happened to him? You better fall. Because the way you are, you need to fall. You know, people ask very silly things. It begins to cloud your head. I saw some guys, they say they are Christocentric or Christoelectric. And he said, people don't fall here, they stand. What does that even mean? What does it mean? You keep quiet. See, when you don't know something, you shut up. So you don't talk yourself out of God's will. You listen. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Do you get it? So we are open to the moving of the Spirit. Things can happen in Christian meetings. We can have a cloud of glory here, right? Right? Cloud of fire? Can't have it here? Amen. Can we have lightnings all over this place? We should have it. It's not just a cool service, right? To have some things, amen. You have people just full of joy in the whole service? Amen. You know, God, people just pray into the next day. Amen? God, people just have burdens. That's just those demonstrations of the Spirit. Amen? Healing miracles at the spur of a moment. Glory to God. Oh, God, people, I've seen people, and I've seen it in our services too. People just be stuck on one spot. Someone said, someone's stuck on one spot. What does that mean? I said, it's just cool. Hallelujah. It's just cool. So this guy couldn't get up. How can that be of God? He's of who? Hallelujah. Amen. You know, they are experiences. Believers should have them. Years ago, you know, I had this vision. This vision Lord showed me. And I now felt like 4 years after to share it with people that were in our ministry. And I called them to a room. And they all sat. And I spoke to them. Now what I'm saying here, I say so often that it always amazes me as I'm saying it. And Pastor Ola was in that meeting too. Somebody else was there that some of us know. And I spoke to them. Now this is what I saw a few years ago. And then they said yes. The Lord now asked me after, said, I didn't ask you to share this. So I said, oh. So I'm going to do something for you. I said, I'm going to ensure that no one remembers it. So every time I ask those guys, can you remember this meeting? They said there was no meeting like that. They all said the same thing. Now when I say it again for those who were there, they say, Pastor, you keep saying the same. There was no meeting. I just laugh. Because there was a meeting like that. You know, that's quite supernatural, right? I'll tell you one more. Now the same year, I was talking to Pastor Dan, we're in front of Independence Hall, University of Ibadan. So we're speaking. So I was trying to share that vision with her. So as I was talking, she just said, I can't hear you again. I kept hearing, I can't hear you. I said, I can't hear you. She just said there was like a cotton cloud that covered me from hearing what she was saying. And that was the Lord saying, I said, you shouldn't share it. So I went to Brother Tobes. I said, that's quite an encounter. He said, I hope, this is what he told me. So I hope you are not about to tell me to. I said, No. You know, that's quite supernatural, right? Amen. Glory to God. How about those kind of encounters? Glory to God. What about having meetings and you see angels and they just say, hello, we are here. We have such things, right? We see those things. Amen. No. We see such things. They are for now. They are for now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Who would you like to go? You're going for evangelism as you're going. You see a supernatural being say, have a great time. Amen. Hallelujah. Or you're going to preach. Hey, are you hearing? No, don't go to that house. Go to this one. You love that? Some of you love things like that. You have to love things like that too. Hallelujah. 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 Gotta love things like that. You worship and you open your eyes and you see the invisible world. Woo! Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Holy Ghost in manifestation, in demonstration. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Holy Ghost in manifestation and in demonstration. That's what Paul says. You have to desire this thing. You're going to desire it. You're going to want them. In manifestation. In demonstrations. Glory to God. So when we say we're having Holy Ghost meetings, get ready. Amen? Get ready. Hallelujah. You know who used to have meetings back then? We still do today anyway. And I remember we had this meeting another Pentecost. 1995. We were on in your state. And I took the last night. We had built up momentum. My friend, Pastor Larry, preached, he's late now, he's been the Lord now. He preached Adventures with God for the night. And we had, so the next day, people brought cars with a driver that they are sure they won't be able to go home without someone carrying them. What an expectation. Hallelujah. So I preached that night, mix it up. We preached something like that before. Mix it up. And I used the parable of alcohol. I've never taken alcohol before. But I just mix it up. And what an evening that was. You know, and things like that. Sometimes what they just do to your Christian life, they just make you, you know, love to pray more. Love to study more. Those experiences seem to deepen your Christian walk. You won't be able to explain why. But such encounters you have in the glory of God, they affect you generally. They affect your disposition to study of the word. They affect your service of God. Sometimes what some of us need are those experiences. The moving of the Spirit. And Paul says, I would not have you ignorant. Don't be ignorant. There are movings of the Spirit. There are diversities of the things of the Spirit. Don't be ignorant. For many of us, we're used to one stream. Sometimes we're so stereotyped that, you know, notice something happened now. When I spoke about experiences, you all say, yeah. As soon as I said, laughing, that was the one you responded to. I saw it now. So, there's more. Hallelujah. You can be so stereotyped. So stereotyped. Some of us all, we just, you know, rejoicing, leaping. Yeah, that's part of it. But there is more. Hallelujah. There's more. You know, there's a trance. Amen. There's a trance. There are visions, revelations. In the book of Acts, a vision and revelation wasn't something that, you know, was a strange encounter. Ananias, a disciple, he's just going to church and he sees Jesus. He doesn't say, he's all, you know, a strange being. So Ananias said, yes, Lord. He didn't say, Ananias, said, yes, Lord. So yeah, I'm talking about man, Saul of Tarsus. The way he responded in that vision shows you a guy who was used. He said, I get used to the things of God. I'm not a stranger to the realm of the Spirit. Amen. You get used to it. Glory to God. In these meetings, you know, you can have encounters, visions. Amen. You can fall into a trance. Amen. And see things in the spirit world. Hallelujah. Are you here? You can hear things in the spirit. Glory to God. And then you hear things in the spirit. One time, my mom had a friend come, you know, to see her. So I was in the room inside the house. So my mom said, another person came from my fellowship, was also in the dining room with them. Said, how many people are in that room with you? I said, there's nobody. I said, no, we heard voices of people. My mom said, Mama Abby was at home. Said, didn't you hear? I said, yes, no. There was no back door in the house. I said, no. They obviously heard supernatural beings in the room. And I'm there fellowshipping. I'm there praying. I'm there hearing God's word. You know, those experiences are real. They're real for believers. Why does God do them? Because we are in the Spirit. Glory to God. So sometimes it's a reminder of who you are. A reminder of the kind of authority that you have. And some folks have been badly taught and wrongly taught. Such that, let me say this. You know, sometimes you could, because of a fake, detest the original. There are people that, because they've seen things being done wrongly. Years ago, 28 years ago, I stopped laying hands on people. I used to lay hands before then, 27. I stopped laying hands. Why? Because I felt people were abusing it. I really felt that way. People were just laying hands for all sorts of nonsense. That's what I said then. So I stopped laying hands. The Lord now asked me a question. He said, you stopped laying hands? I said, yeah. He said, why? This message. He said, well, you are not doing my word. Because you are walking in disobedience. If my word says you should lay hands, irrespective of the abuse and the excess anywhere, lay hands. Hear me. I'd rather have an excess than have nothing at all. It's excessive. Get the excessive one. A total absence. I love what Fred Price said, Dr. Fred Price. He said, I'd rather have fake fire than no fire. How can a Christian life? No fire! Nothing. Don't come to church. How's your Christian life? We're thanking God. No. How's your Christian life? Glorious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We walk in the supernatural. Amen. We see things in the supernatural. We hear things in the supernatural. And we are open for supernatural experience. Glory to God. Glory to God for supernatural experiences by the Spirit of God. Amen. You know, this month we're also fasting as a church. You prepare yourself. You are ready in every service. In your cell meetings, you're ready. In your fellowship meetings, you're ready. In the midweek services, you're ready. In the prayer group meetings, you are wired. Wired up and fired up for deep spiritual experiences. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You know, you can pray in the spirit and wind up in a vision. You can pray in the spirit and see yourself in another nation. You can pray in the spirit and see different things happen to you. Someone told me this 2 weeks ago. Said, I just saw you. Person is sick and on the bed. So I just saw you stand before my bed and you prayed for me. And I said, oh, I was not on, definitely. I didn't leave Lagos. You're far away. In Zambia, I'm here in Nigeria. I've not traveled to Zambia this year. Except I saw you. You came. Now I know I didn't go anywhere, but that was an encounter. Because I'm praying for the person, and supernaturally, God allowed this fellow to encounter his word in a very spectacular way. So we can also have spectacular experiences. Hallelujah. spectacular experiences. Because this house is a house of His glory. It's a house of His glory. A house of His Spirit. And we are open in these weeks for the moving of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We are open for the moving of the Spirit. I'm not ignorant of the things of the Spirit. I'm not ignorant of the things of God. I'm open for the moving of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So what do we expect? We expect to see things. Amen? Glory to God. Say, I expect to see things. We expect to hear things. Say, I expect to hear things. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We expect to say things. Things supernatural. Amen? 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 We expect to do things. Supernatural. Glory to God. We expect things to happen to us. Supernatural. We receive diverse demonstrations of the moving of the Spirit in all our meetings by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We expect that to happen. Amen. 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 Some of you will have visions for the first time in your life. You're going to see them. You're going to see things in the Spirit. You're going to see things in the Spirit. Amen. And it's important to use your words well. I've told you before. You can talk yourself out of what God is doing. You can. And I have to correct some pastors. I told the pastor, I said, every time you're talking about the things of the Spirit, you are always talking about the excess. He said, I didn't notice that. I noticed it. He said, change what you're saying. Stop saying, it's not about people falling under the power. Don't say things like that again. Say, people falling under the power is the will of God. Say that first. Don't focus on the excess. Don't mock things. Whatever you mock, you can't attract. If you mock the moving of the Spirit, you won't attract it. Even when you are ignorant, keep quiet. Keep quiet. Because sometimes we use our words and we're gone. We're gone. So a pastor was saying one time, he said, you know, Pastor, everything you taught us, I've been talking about his church. He said, but we're not making progress. I said, well, I've observed something you always say. You say it's not about numbers. We can fill this whole place with people now and they will not know anything. I'd rather have just the people who know the word of God. I said, and you kept having what you said. Say, hey, I said, yes. I said, you don't talk like that and see it happen. Change what you are saying. Say differently. Because words are carriers of spiritual realities. Words carry doubt, they carry fear, they carry anxiety. So say the right thing. Correct yourself. And he did. And things sorted out. Hallelujah. Say the right things. I'm open to the things of the Spirit. Amen? I'm open to the moving of the Spirit. I'm open to revelations and visions. I'm open for encounters with God. Things I've never seen before. Things I've never heard before. Now, I receive them. And I have them. Remember this lady, she came to me for counseling and she's talking about how she's struggling with her marriage. Her husband's not allowing her to serve God. And I said, as she was speaking, I saw a vision. I said to her, I said, you were in so-and-so university? She said, oh yeah. She thought I was using the information I had. I said, no, you were once in the room. You had this, you were four in the room. You were the fourth person. And there was this lady that had the job. She's a Muslim. She was now looking at me like, oh. He's saying something else. And I said, yeah. I said, you were talking about pastors. She said, oh, that was a long time ago. I said, yes. I said, God just showed me. And then you mocked pastors. And you said that you can never marry all those kind of Christians, pastors. You don't want anyone to disturb your Christian life. I mean, yourself. I mean, your life with all these church activities. You said so. She said, yes. I said, the other three were not Christians. So, it had no effect. Well, you said it. So that's what's happening to you. Say, ah. I said, oh. You said it. That's what you wanted. Now that you have decided to serve the Lord for the rest of your life. But there's a man that still dare to do you part. That you have attracted before you decided to serve the Lord for the rest of your life. So, you know what I'm trying to say? So you have to watch what you say. You have to watch what you say. Amen. Don't ever talk down on the move of the Spirit. Don't say, what is this? What does this mean? Why is it? No. Be open to the moving of the Spirit. And use your words well. And use them properly. Be open to the moving of the Holy Ghost. So I'm open to the moving of the Spirit. I'm open to the moving of the Spirit. Close here. I yield to the Holy Ghost. 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 I want to teach you more of that. I yield to the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. I yield to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Now take like 30 seconds and say the things you have never experienced before that you will experience in this meeting. Say it in like 1 minute. You've never seen this before. But I'm going to see it now in these meetings. Say it. I'm going to have it now. If it's in the Word of God, it's for you. If the Word of God is for you, thirty more seconds. I believe I receive this, Lord. In these meetings, encounters with the Holy Ghost, our Christian lives will never remain the same again. We'll be revitalized, renewed, strengthened, refocused. Amen. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Close your eyes. Sit down. Why don't you sit down? Sit down. Hold on. Let me show you something. See, every time you are open, you are looking around. There are times you can look around. I'm going to teach you practical things. If I open my eyes in a meeting, it's for one reason. I want to see what God is doing. So I can get in. I am not an observer. That's why you should know that if we enter a meeting together, and all my friends know this, we don't talk till the meeting is over. I know what distractions can mean. So if I open my eyes, is to see there's something going on I'm not getting into. If I see something, okay, folks there are praying, I just start praying. Or folks there are rejoicing, I do that. Or folks there are doing, that's it. It's not using like a journalist. No. So learn to avoid distractions. In a meeting. Amen. Let's just pray in tongues. Yes, we are open, Lord, to reach vital depths of experiences. We press. We push. We press. We press in the things of God. We are open, dear Lord. We take visions and revelations, encounters in the realm of the supernatural this morning. We take them one by one. Yes, 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 yes.